Sing them over again to me.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. You are listening to the Words of Life program, which is prayerfully supported by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. You have likely heard the expression, actions speak louder than words. Today, Brother David Johnson will use a Bible verse in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19 to teach on a similar topic, my faith by what I do. This sermon will continue in our study of the book of James. We now worship our Lord with song.
Not all earth's gold and silver can make a sinner whole. What shall it profit thee, O man, if thou should lose thy soul? What shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Please pray with me. Lord, we magnify your holy name as we come before you in prayer. You are holy and worthy of our praise. Please use the words of this program to accomplish your will. We pray that people who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior will learn of him. We also pray for all other efforts that are being conducted in your name. Please heal the sick, encourage the brokenhearted, and bless each one. And Lord, bring convictions for world leaders that they will look to you for direction and find greater opportunity to look to the gospel. Please bless each one and help us to love you and serve you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using James chapter 2, 14 through 19, Brother David Johnson will continue in our study of the book of James with the sermon, My Faith by What I Do.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, My Faith by What I Do. And our main text is taken from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. Please turn there and look at the text. Let's look at it together. As we consider this text, it should be obvious to us that what we do is tied to how we think. What we think and do is who we really are, regardless of how we may deny it. James, in his letter or epistle, is teaching against shallow beliefs or just possible good intentions, but instead, he's teaching about a deep-seated saving faith in God, which is demonstrated. A profession of faith, of trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, needs to be expressed by what we do, not just what we say or claim to do. Anyone who professes Christ must prove it by a pattern of Christ-honoring, Christ-obeying lifetime. Simply put, the absence of a pattern of godly living is absent saving faith. Saving faith produces godly living. For example, growing up with a Christian heritage is a positive blessing, but it in itself saves no one. Cultural Christianity saves no one. To become a born-again Christian, one must personally surrender to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, genuinely believe, and prove it with obedience to the gospel. Obedient in repentance, obedient in confession, obedient in baptism, and obedient in a pattern of faithful, godly living. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 in part, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Also, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The original recipients of this letter, this epistle, were dispersed Jews, persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, as the unique one and only Son of God. Yet some had only superficial, shallow belief. Some had replaced the works, self-righteousness system of salvation of legalistic Judaism with the other extreme, which is no required works at all. The good works, godly living itself, can never earn salvation. However, it is the evidence of saving faith. The two must go together. For example, if we trust our doctor or dentist, we obey his instructions. Likewise, if we genuinely trust in God through Jesus Christ, then we obey his commands. There's a pattern of obedience, and when we sin, we confess and repent. Sadly, some who hear the gospel message of God's salvation by his grace through faith presume nothing else is demanded of them. They claim they believe in God, and so they are automatically heaven-bound. They may also be baptized and attend church services occasionally, yet they live an ungodly life. That describes only mental assent, not heartfelt saving faith. In our text, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, James points us to three characteristics of shallow, dead, and worthless belief. The three are, number one, empty profession, verse 14. Number two, false compassion, verses 15 through 17 as an illustration. And number three, superficial confession, verses 18 through 19. Everyone should heed the admonition of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, that says in part, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." So let's consider an empty profession of faith. James chapter 2 and verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him?" Claiming to be a Christian, claiming to have Christian faith, can be easily spoken. Such a person can mentally agree with some basic Christian doctrines such as the existence of God, Jesus Christ as his Son, the Bible as the Word of God. However, the issue here claims faith but no deeds to back up his claim. The original Greek language verb form describes someone who continually lacks deeds, therefore lacks evidence to support his claim of Christian saving faith, which is the only kind of faith that counts for eternal life with God. Deeds here would, in this context of Christian faith, mean good deeds derived from a righteous behavior as revealed in the Bible. Some of the righteous behavior and deeds James has already identified, as for example in James chapter 1 and verse 3, "Your faith develops perseverance." Verse 19, "Slow to become angry." Verse 21, "Get rid of all moral filth and evil." Verse 22, "Do what it," that is the scripture, "says." Verse 26, "Keep a tight rein on his tongue." Verse 27, "Look after orphans and widows," and the like. Godly behavior is the product of saving faith. So James asks the very important question, can such a faith save him? That is, without evidence of good deeds and righteous behavior? Faith without deeds is really not faith, because genuine faith must have evidence, must have fruit. Can a person who claims to be generous, but who rarely or never does anything generous, really be generous? Is any kind of belief to be considered saving faith? In the original Greek, the grammatical form of the question calls for a negative answer. That is, no, it cannot save. Not without deeds, proving it. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 17. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. We need to remember it's not that a quantity of good deeds is added to true faith to be saving, but rather that true faith that is saving will produce good deeds. So, is James contradicting Paul about the basis of salvation, which is by grace through faith? Absolutely not. Does God's word contradict itself? Obviously, God, being omniscient, cannot contradict himself. Consider the inspired writing of Paul in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who, by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. Consider Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, also written by the Apostle Paul. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. John MacArthur puts it well regarding the supposed conflict between James and Paul. Quote, they are not standing face to face confronting each other, but are standing back to back fighting two common enemies. Paul opposes works righteous legalism. James opposes easy believism. But both men make clear that we are going to be judged on the basis of what we have done, for that is a sure indicator of genuine salvation. Do not marvel at this, Jesus said, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29, end of quote. We are saved by grace through faith, and that faith is saving as verified, validated, authenticated by the pattern of our godly conduct and good deeds. Regarding an empty profession of faith, consider Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Yet a full confession of faith causes a sinner to be regenerated positionally from sinner to saint. Believers sanctified by the blood of Christ strive, indeed struggle, to live godly lives. Genuine saving faith includes genuine repentance. There is a change of attitude and a change of lifestyle over time for the true believer. For example, consider pagans in Ephesus who changed after they put their genuine faith in Christ. Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 19. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. A drachma was a silver coin worth about a day's wages. So internal spiritual transformation must have external evidence to be genuine. Everyone who is indeed saved by God becomes a new creation, and by the presence, persuasion, and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, a new creation over time produces growing evidence of repentance, of good deeds, a pattern of obedience, and growing love of God and others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. James chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17 is an illustration of a pattern of false compassion, external evidence of not being genuine saving faith. It's telling evidence of an empty profession of Christian faith. James chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Spoken concern only without action is false compassion, which especially patternistically points to dead faith, which is no saving faith at all. The illustration is clear. James compares faith without deeds to words of compassion without acts of compassion. The Greek language here indicates a physical need, here on the part of fellow believers, brothers or sisters, that is, long-standing, not temporary, that these are without ongoing adequate clothing and without sufficient nourishment. The need was that of basic necessities of life. The Apostle John makes a similar point in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That is, with sincere hearts and acts of compassion and concern for others, unless we think this only is regarding brothers and sisters in faith, consider Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Having a selfish disinterest in the basic needs of others by just offering lip service without follow-through of action speaks volumes of a person's spiritual heart condition. Quote, "Go, I wish you well," end quote, is dishonest and basically brushing the person in need off. This attitude, these words are worthless and worse, show oneself callous and hard-hearted, probably stingy. Certainly not the behavior of a Christian who desires to be a channel of God's care for the basic needs of others. Therefore, it is blatant, false compassion of lip service only. It's phony, exposing a hard heart and an empty profession of faith. Someone has written this illustration. A man fell in a ditch. The realist said, "That is a ditch." The optimist said, "Things will get better." The pessimist said, "Things will get worse." The Christian scientist said, "You only think you are in a ditch." The newspaper reporter said, "I'll pay for your exclusive story about life in the ditch." The city official said, "Did you get a permit for living in the ditch?" The mathematician said, "I'll calculate the length, depth, and width of the ditch." The preacher said, "I see three things noteworthy about the ditch." The IRS agent said, "Have you paid your taxes for that ditch?" Jesus Christ says, "Give me your hand. I will help you out of the ditch." Jesus not only spoke compassion, he did compassionate things for people. We as Christians need to do likewise. End of quote. Lastly, superficial confession. James chapter 2 and verses 18 through 19. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Recognition of certain truths of Scripture with mere mental assent, but without personal submission and obedience to these truths, is superficial confession. It's shallow, just a thin veneer of belief that is not saving faith. James, inspired of the Holy Spirit, is affirming that true saving faith always, without exception, has external evidence of inner saving faith. James elaborated in verse 17, which says in part, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. It has no saving efficacy whatsoever." It's null and void. It's dead. Saving faith must be demonstrated. Living faith produces good fruit. Proof of salvation is not the date and the place of your conversion. The proof is our lifestyle after our conversion. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." A type of faith that merely says but does not do is really unbelief in the final analysis. Faith without good deeds is a bald, barren, empty faith without content, without substance, just an empty shell with no meat. Persons with these superficial confessions have not been born again from above by God. They are still dead in their sins. It's like a person claiming to be a combat hero who has never been on the battlefield. Like a person saying that he or she can swim across a swimming pool but has not actually swam. It's a farce, a sham, confession without substance. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 in part, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." What counts is faith demonstrated that proves itself. God determines what counts, not men's opinions or philosophies. Again, since James was writing primarily to Jewish Christians, he wanted to drive this point home regarding saving faith. The Jewish faith always centers itself on Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." However, where most Jews fell short was with the very next verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." This is also where all who have a superficial confession toward God fall woefully short. They only give lip service, parrot the words, but do not have a patternistic life of obedience to the Lord's commands. They desire a Savior, but not a Lord. Jesus stated in John chapter 14, verses 23 through 24 in part, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So the thrust of this is whether Jew or Gentile, Christian belief in the truth of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 without obedience to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 is worthless. James proves this by the reality of demons. They know and believe Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 that God is one, but rebel against Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. They certainly do not love nor correspondingly obey the Lord God. That is why they are fallen, not faithful angels. So likewise, unsaved persons can believe in one God, believe the Bible is the Word of God, even believe Jesus is the Son of God, believe in heaven and hell, all of which demons also believe, but are certainly not saved. Fact is, Orthodox Christian head knowledge alone saves no one. Demons know the truth about God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, but exist in disobedience and rebellion. Likewise are those with a superficial confession of faith, mere mental assent of worldly living, only in the flesh without the Spirit of God. Demons, at least, have the sense to shudder at their eventual disastrous demise and destiny of eternal torment. Demons' gleeful consolation is leading astray those with superficial confessions of faith in Christ. Sadly, these persons think, believe, hope they will escape God's judgment based only on their shallow mental assent to some Bible truths. Scripture affirms saving faith produces a pattern of obedience in saved people's lives. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. "Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." Romans chapter 16, verses 26 through 27 says in part, "That all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Negatively, Paul also writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. We sing, for example, hymn number 306 in our blue hymn books that is entitled Trust and Obey. The chorus states, quote, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." To say or sing these words alone obviously saves no one. To live out these words, to trust and obey, is God's way to eternal life with Him.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Are you doing what the Word of God says? Have you made a commitment to Jesus to receive His forgiveness? If not, we pray that you will make a decision of faith and obedience in order to receive salvation. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. You can receive a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for CD 2034. That's 2034. Be a person of action and write to us today, and may God bless you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me.